Welcome, everyone, to Christ's Blessing, November 15th, 2015. It's a beautiful day here on the coast of Texas, and I hope at the very least it's a beautiful day inside your hearts. We have a caller, actually, Elizabeth Grant. Hi, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Elizabeth in New York, and I just want to, again, thank you for all you do every Sundays. It's just a blessing for me, and I'm sure everyone else. I look forward to 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon every week. I would just like to ask for a blessing for healing for me. I'm just getting migraines very constantly, and I don't know what's causing them, and I've done a lot to try to stop them, but I'm stumped at the moment. So if you could just put me in the circle today for the healing for the migraines, I'd be most grateful. Thank you.
Most certainly will, Elizabeth, and thanks for asking. I think it's really important sometimes that we do ask, because even God allows us to have the challenges on our pathway as long as we need them. And it's really up to us to say, you know, I don't really want this anymore. I don't need this. And I know it seems like I'm stating the obvious. Doesn't everyone want to be rid of their pains and problems? But you'd be surprised how many people are reluctant to ask for help, if only from a medical doctor or a friend or a family member or a financial consultant. You would be surprised. And I know I counsel people constantly in this regard, and find that somehow the struggle is really, really essential for them to have up to a point. And then they call me back when they're ready to scream uncle and say, okay, I really, really do want some help. So thanks, Elizabeth, for presenting this voice of request for everyone, because I have a feeling almost anyone who comes to this call is looking for at least guidance through the forest. Maybe they're not ready to give up the gauntlet yet, but they want guidance. They want a paper trail. They want a friend to walk with them. They want to feel Christ in their heart, and they want to feel the love of God as they go along their path. So we all ask for different things in different ways, and this is your time. We set aside about 10 minutes in this call, at the beginning of the call, for anyone who has a request to voice that request, or a comment to express gratitude, and that's really important too, to express gratitude when we felt the blessing. It helps everyone. Those who are perhaps reluctant to believe are less reluctant when they see that others have actually achieved something and come to a greater realization because of the blessings of Christ. These blessings are rich on many, many levels, and it's not just the earth plane. These are sometimes blessings to our heart. I'm sure there are times all of you have known when life was basically good, but something happened and you had a broken heart. It could be that you lost someone you love, or you lost your incentive for living. Maybe you just looked around the world and said, well, I've done all this, but it wasn't worth it. Or you did a lot of work for something that turned out not to be what you thought it was. And so these blessings are not just for the challenges and the problems and the benefits that we can enjoy in this third dimensional world. We live in a world that is very marked by, well, boundaries, if you will. The walls of our home, the various boundaries of permission that we set up in life, or that we have to give consent to cross. We have to earn degrees in order to practice certain professions. and we have to demonstrate that we're a qualified driver to even get a driver's license. That's a kind of permission and boundary. And we're so steeped in these, we don't even look at them as if they are the walls and boundaries of the third dimensional world, but they are. And they don't limit all that we are. You know that you're so much more than that. You know that. You know that love is more than just the things you desire and the people you have affection for. You know that love is bigger than that. There's so many ways we can describe love. And we're going to talk about that a lot in our class today. But for now, I'm going to take a call from Gina. Gina, you're on. Hi.
Hi, Glenda. I'm not sure if you remember, we had a session about my, you know, when my dad passed, and it really helped me a lot, so thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
And I really appreciate, to reiterate what Elizabeth was saying, I'm so grateful for you to be here for us. I don't know what I would do without you.
And it's my pleasure.
Well, I have a question. Since we talked during our session, I had asked about my dad, and I'd like to communicate with him. You know, spiritually, you said I would be able to do that. Now, there was a fellow that probably like a month or so ago, he was a caretaker for his wife, and you said that, you know, open up a line of communication for him and maybe the support group that he had where,
right,
you know, he could communicate. Now, at the time, of course, I was, you know, I'm still in deep grief. I believe you said something like, you know, first year I go through, you know, things will remind me of my dad. And then the second year I build a bridge. And then the third year you said that, you know, I could communicate with him spiritually, but you said it was important for me to put my relationship, my relationship with him, needs to be, it's sacred. And I do have a little shrine, you know, of, you know, him and pictures and stuff like that. Because you said that, you know, nothing I do, and I understand what you said, nothing that I do, I mean, he's doing his own thing, and I wish and pray the very best for what he needs to do, but I think maybe I had said something about advice, and you said, no, it needs to be more sacred, whereas I guess that's different than what you were suggesting to this this fella about a month ago to communicate with his wife who has passed. So can you explain that, or...
Well,
I understand it a little bit better.
I oriented my counsel toward you according to our conversation and what you told me about yourself and the nature of your grief and the nature of your relationship with your father. And I'd like to refer back to the message I was already entering upon, which is what I want to talk about today in our extended message, and that is that this third-dimensional world we live in is only the smallest part of the existence we share with others. And even with others that have not come into our world yet, or perhaps were part of our life long ago, there are many, many other dimensions in our life. As Yeshua said to his apostles, he said, "Where I'm going, you can't go with me now, but I'm going to prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house are many mansions." Now, what he meant by a mansion was a great place. That's sort of the universal meaning of a mansion. We could think of it today as a bricks and mortar building, but universally, it means a great place. There are other great places in our Father's kingdom that we can share. And not all of those great places are made of three-dimensional substance. We live in a very, very third-dimensional world. And you created a relationship, a very dear, loving relationship with your father in the third dimensional world. And you'd like to have him back there. Well, he can actually offer to you a chance to discover some of these other mansions that you can grow into. And my advice to you was to let yourself grow as you seek him in other places, in other ways, in larger ways, because that will be his enduring gift to you. One of the things I want to say about union is that union, and this is also part of our main topic today, it's the correlation between union and faith. Union, once it's established, is never broken. We have lots and lots of broken relationships. Relationships can be broken, and often they're designed to be time-dated. You know, we grow up with kids in our elementary school. We go through high school, and we expect to go our different ways. Men and women serve together on the battlefield, and they expect and hope to go. They expect and hope to survive that event, go home, back to their families, and go their separate ways. Most or many relationships are meant to be time-dated. But once we have established union with another, that union is never broken. It may be elasticized and challenged to extend into other dimensions. And for you, that's what I was referring to. And I was looking at the fact that your growth into the other dimensions will have its pathway and will require that you adapt to these other places in which you will join your father and be with him. Now, this other gentleman has a different challenge. And it all comes down to the fact that we all are challenged by this third dimensional world we live in. And yet part of Yeshua's life was to teach us how to be here, but not to be of the essence of here. He said, I am in the world, but not of the world. And that means he always kept at least one foot in a higher dimension. He never completely got here except for the night before his arrest. And that's when he felt the full separation from his father. That's when he truly grieved. That's when he fully separated on our behalf to be here as we're here. And boy, did it hurt. Now, if it hurt him, of course it's going to hurt us. Of course our pains are going to hurt. If we allow ourselves to become completely immersed in this third dimensional world, even when we scrape our knee, it's going to hurt. I look at these innocent little children who fall, and for the first time, they bump their knee. And you pick them up and you cuddle them. You look at the knee, and it really isn't that bad, and you know it's not hurting that much. But, oh, my gosh, oh, they're wailing and wailing and wailing. You know why? Because it brought them into the third dimensional world, where even the littlest thing hurts more. Mm-hmm. The dark night of the soul happens when we allow the pains of the third dimensional world to pull us out of the higher places that we can be. And you know, one of the reasons we feel that way is we just feel disoriented. We lose our way in higher ground. We think that here is where we know ourselves, and this is what we identify with. And we cling to that identity. Yeshua said, get rid of that identity. Get rid of all limiting identities. They're just baggage for you. And, you know, I think it's fine that you grieve for a while. Grief is healthy. It's a healthy release. But you have to understand that as you as you grieve, you are doing exactly what you need to do. You need to release. But as you release, follow the love to the higher ground it's going to travel on, because every tear you shed is going to find your father where he is. So
yes,
let the tears flow and then walk with them to where they lead you.
Yeah, I have felt that a little bit. I've put pictures up of, you know, some favorite places, you know, by the ocean, things that we had done. And when I look at them, I do feel, I guess I can't explain it. It's what you just said, but I do feel that. And I feel very close. I imagine what you said spiritually. I feel the love and I feel him. So I have experienced that. And, you know, and the crying is, I'm okay with that. I do need to do that. And
and
it feels good to do that. I guess I'm just more excited to be at that other higher plane where, you know, I do have more of a communication with him. But I think once the grief, you know, subsides some more, I'll probably be open to it more. And
there'll be one day will come and you will just let go because you so much more want to be with him on a higher place.
Right.
They will come.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Very helpful.
Tina, I'm going to have to shorten this because we have a message we need to get into. You want to have another session, another time?
Yes, I will.
With me?
Yes, I will.
Okay? And I'll do my best to help you get to this other place because you have not disconnected from your father. You just don't find him in the three-dimensional world anymore. And that's just life expanding as it should. Like I said, as Yeshua said to the apostles, and he cautioned them, he said, where I'm going, you can't go right now. But they really looked forward to going there. And did they grieve? You better believe they grieved. They were the saddest, mopiest group of people you could ever imagine for days after the crucifixion, even though they had experienced the resurrection. You know, can you believe this? Even though they saw him, that he was alive and immortal, they still grieved. You know why? Because they wanted him back in the third dimensional world. They wanted him back with them. And they didn't let go until the day of Pentecost. Yeshua said, he saw that they were still grieving. He said, look, I've got to go. He didn't really, really ever leave us because once the union is established, it's never cut. But he relocated his perceptual connection with them at the moment we call the ascension. And he said, I will send a counselor to be with you. And that counselor will be with you and comfort you and bring you into all knowledge and all wisdom and guide you in all things. And the reason he sent the counselor is because the Holy Spirit is that part of God that is in all things, including the physical universe. In the Bible it said, by my Spirit all things were created. Everything you can see and touch is just a condensation of Spirit. Albert Einstein would confirm that and verify it. He would say it all is quantum potential that is beyond the measurable. It's all essentially qualitative that has drawn into union by some mysterious force. Well, we know from Yeshua that mysterious force is love under the intention of God. And that force drawing together is the Holy Spirit, and it is in all things. Therefore, it can be with us inside our pain, inside the third dimensional world. It can carry us to the other dimensions. It can reinforce our union and assist us in getting that which we need. And you can talk to the Holy Spirit as you would a brother, a friend, a buddy, a sister, a little baby. Actually, the Holy Spirit loves to come to us as a little child. I find that one of the most endearing ways the Spirit comes to me. And I'm not the only one. There's a faith healer by the name of Dr. Ross. Wonderful, wonderful man. And he always sees the Holy Spirit as a little baby. I just love that. It can come as energy. On the day of Pentecost, it came as a powerful force that just emblazoned the bodies and the souls of the apostles. And that was the day the church was created. There was no church during the physical lifetime of Christ. And that's because he wanted people to reach beyond the physical. He didn't want it to be a bricks and mortars establishment. He didn't want it to be a doctrine. He didn't want it to be something that just focused into the physical life of people. He wanted everyone to see beyond their physical life. And he said, if you have as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move that mountain. Now, I want to challenge you with that thought, because literally, if you think about it in third dimensional terms, you couldn't move that mountain without a lot of blasting sticks and a bulldozer and a really, really astute digital recreation program that could put every rock and pebble back in place in another location. I mean, it would be physically, virtually impossible. And I say virtually because so many seemingly miraculous things have already been demonstrated in my lifetime. I'm not going to say that couldn't be done. But I will say that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about faith is our instrument of union. This is where faith and belief differ. This is where faith and hope differ. This is where faith is actually the perfection of love. Faith is that which sees all things done, just perhaps not fully manifest, but we are in union with that which is our most perfect love, our most perfect desire, our most perfect realization, our most perfect reason for being. And if we and that mountain share faith one to another, that mountain will be with us and we will be with the mountain. Faith is the fulfillment. Faith is the instrument of union and the fulfillment of love. It's not driving blind on a highway at night without headlights. That's the great misconception of faith. Faith is not ignorance, unconsciousness, denial, or any of the other diminishing aspects of consciousness. Faith is actually the ultimate consciousness that sees all things, knows all things, and fulfills all things. There's a beautiful soliloquy written by the Apostle Paul on love. If you simply read that again, it's in Corinthians. It's very famous. You read it again, and in place of love, you put faith. It would say the same thing. Faith is the instrument of love that we can hold on to in this dimension, that is perfect in this dimension. Now, why am I saying in this dimension? Okay, let's clarify that. Now, to everybody, love is going to look a little bit different because we live in a third dimensional world. And in a third dimensional world, love can look a lot like affection. It could look like reliable, dependable dependency. Someone or something you know you can count on. Love could look like your favorite food. It could look like chocolates on Valentine's Day. Love could look like roses brought to you by your beloved. Love could look like a kiss and a hug. Love could look like what you get from your dog that you get from nobody else. No matter how your day goes, your dog greets you, welcomes you, sits beside you, and doesn't care what you did. Love could be a hammock on a summer day with lemonade and a light breeze. Love could be so many things. It could be a prayer. It could be the highest moment in a meditation. You could say God is love, but I'm not sure in this dimension you would fully comprehend it. We could say a lot of things about love that we don't fully comprehend in this dimension. We could say love is unconditional, but the minute someone does something we don't like, we'll think, well, yeah, but don't tread on me. So we could think a lot of holy thoughts, but in this dimension, it comes down to what we can really feel and accept and receive and expect. Remember, we've talked a lot about receiving and expecting in our previous times. And love has a lot to do with those things. It has a lot to do with our readiness to receive. But love doesn't just belong to the third dimensional world. Love was there in the beginning. From love, all things were drawn together into creation. Love moves the planets. It moves the galaxies. It moves the quasars, the asteroids, the comets, the clouds, the magnetic forces. Love moves us from one life to another, or from our life here on earth to a life on higher ground. Love discovers us in the lowest places of consciousness and redeems us and pulls us out. As in the song, Love Lifted Me. Love can find us in the deepest and darkest places and bring us back to the light of our soul. Love is in all kinds of places that we can't even comprehend inside of our immersion in problems and challenges. But the way we can find perfect love inside every challenge, inside every problem, inside every desire, is with faith. Faith is held in union with the love that we are, the love that is seeking to be with us, or has always been with us, or is seeking reunion with us. Faith and union and love and the love that we are one. As we celebrate our faith, we can know that we are larger, greater, more wonderful, more powerful, more united with God and eternity than we ever, ever thought we were. And so I want to dedicate this blessing to the faith that unites us with God, the faith that unites us with one another, the faith that unites us with everyone we have ever loved, the faith that unites us with all of those seeking to know us in love whom we haven't yet met, the faith that seeks to unite us with our most perfect solution, resolution, realization, and fulfillment. The faith that unites us with the mountain. So how could it ever be any other place than where we are? And therein is the secret of faith. Faith is our perfected union. I would like us to move into our blessing now. We've come to that time where people arrive to receive a blessing, and so we honor that. Now that we are ourselves more in perfect union, and we ourselves can be in this quiet place of our heart where we feel our union with God and our union with one another. This makes us even more receptive, and vulnerable and open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I ask that the blessing givers would join me now. I will say a prayer to Yeshua. When I'm complete, I would ask that you begin your prayer and let your prayer celebrate your union with your most perfect state of being, of attaining, realizing, having, fulfilling, giving, in love, in charity, from your heart, and knowing that you are already in union with that which you most desire. Dear Yeshua, thank you for teaching us that it is through our faith that we achieve union. While so many times in our desire, we push away that which we would seek to have or to be with. Thank you for correcting our many misconceptions about life, because we have formed our conceptions and our seemingly fulfilled knowledge from this place of limited knowledge and limited experience called the world, this three-dimensional environment that has only partial answers for anything and for everything. We thank you for carrying us beyond that and showing us how much larger we are. We thank you for lighting our light, knowing that our light will shine beyond all boundaries, beyond all limitations, into the greater worlds, the greater mansions of our Father's creation. We ask now that you bless us, that you bring blessings to our love, our unity, our hope, and all that we need for the fulfillment of all that we are. Amen. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now, it's your time to rest, receive, assimilate, and take unto yourself the full blessings of love that have been offered to you. God be with you, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now, and much love from me, too.